Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Raisin Brand Podcast. I'm Aaron, and I'm a brand strategist with Pixel Labs, and I'm joined by Tristan and Zach. Tristan's the lead video producer, Zach, of course, the owner and CEO. Welcome to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. I'm actually really excited about today. So, of course, Super Bowl was last weekend. Yep. We enjoy ads. We enjoy good ads. We enjoy crapping on bad ads from time to time. True. But we actually put together a few of our favorites, and we're just going to talk about them. We'll watch them and then talk about what we think went well, what didn't. And overall, I'd be curious, what were your opinions of the Super Bowl ads as a whole?
As a whole, for me, and I only got to watch half of the Super Bowl, so maybe I missed some good ones in the first half. But over the last few years, I feel like the quality, there has been less that I've been excited about seeing. Mm-hmm. There's still some really high caliber ones that connect really well, but there's a lot more that I feel are filling the space that I look at and I just don't understand the point of them.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree. I was on Twitter at one point in the game and someone tweeted something about how, I can't remember the exact extent of it, but something about how advertising agencies have fumbled the bag because the only thing they can rely on is a celebrity cameo, it seems.
Oh.
Which, going back, some of the ones in the past that I've liked, I was like, you know, would I have liked that if it didn't have the celebrity? Maybe that's not a great metric to measure it by, but I think it's something I've noticed and is just a trend in media in general lately.
Mm-hmm.
Is like the reliance on something relevant or well-known, whether it's a past franchise that you're kind of referencing or, a celebrity, which I think that's always kind of been a thing too. But I think what could make for a good commercial in my mind sometimes too is something that doesn't have to rely on that. But I do understand and see the appeal of it because a lot of the ones that we're going to talk about, actually probably 90% of them are celebrity endorsements or related to that. So that's kind of my general opinion on it. Obviously, it's interesting or difficult for us to sort of fully analyze this because not yet, at least, but we don't have access to celebrities or that at that level. Maybe local kind of people to put in our commercials, but it's interesting to kind of look at it in that light and critique or analyze and talk about things from that standpoint. So
yeah. Well, and I think it's always interesting too. And we always talk about this, especially with clients. But we're like sometimes the worst people to critique some of this stuff because maybe we weren't the intended. Oh, I just bumped that. Noah's gonna be upset. But anyways, we're sometimes like we might not have been that right audience, and so like we might not be the best judge. I remember the QR code ad last year, the Coinbase one that did so well. People at first were like, that was dumb. Like, what a waste of money. But then like to find out later, it was like 20 million users tried to get to the website and it crashed. And I would say that was an overwhelming success. The goal was to get people to scan the QR code, go to the website, and do something a little bit different. And I even felt like I saw a lot more QR codes this year.
Yeah.
And I really wish I could find that one. It was an ad of, and I described it to you before, but basically it was like, it looked like it was in some sort of place with a bunch of gold lying around and like these animated characters running around. And then it was kind of just this like panning shot back and forth of this giant QR code, and it just said like scan the QR code with no information or anything. There might have been a little something at the bottom, like a disclaimer, I don't remember. But if I remember right, one of my buddies, his job was to scan every QR code that came up because we knew there'd be more. And he said it was like it was a mobile app game, and it was a QR code that brought you to the CEO's Twitter. And if you followed him, I think maybe you got free gold.
No.
And that was the whole bit. So
I appreciate the boldness of it, I guess. You know, not having any sort of labels and just a QR code. And spending $7 million on that is a big risk.
Right. So. Well, and now, you know, I thought, I was like, they're probably playing off the thing last year. But maybe it worked. You know, maybe he got the followers he wanted or the gold given away. I don't know. But anyways, should we just go ahead and dive in and get moving? Okay. This first one was one, Tristan, that you submitted, so we'll go ahead and watch it, and then talk. You can maybe share what stood out to you, and we can start talking about it. Cool.
Goodness.
So a little bit of added context to that. So whether it be known to you or not, there's been a little bit of like controversy surrounding the M&M's brands, weirdly enough, over what I consider to be pretty trivial stuff. I mean, there's a political tinge to it that I won't dive too headfirst into, but essentially, from my perspective, M&M's recently in their marketing has been promoting some of the female identifying M&M's. I guess it's weird to talk about because they're not people, they're candy, inanimate objects, but the ones who are female presenting, and they've been doing some changing, some more progressive changing, I guess. Like, I can't remember. I think maybe they got rid of the heels from the green M&M or like the boots that she was wearing or something like that. And they also added another, I think it's supposed to be like a body positive M&M, possibly. That's, full disclosure, I don't know much about it, but I know there was some sort of backstory around that. And so it reached certain channels and was apparently pretty controversial on certain news channels and everything. And so recently, maybe like a week or two before the Super Bowl came out, the M&M's announced that they were going to be stepping back from the, you know, the characters for a while, and that Maya Rudolph was going to be a spokesperson. And I saw that. I was like, oh, interesting. I guess I see maybe the need for that. But then I guess it turned out to be a big fake out. There was an ad they aired later after this that were like, oh, just kidding, the M&M's are back, because Maya Rudolph like ruined it or something like that. So I guess it was a whole like kind of campaign around that. It was kind of like a fake out. They were never actually really going anywhere, which I do kind of appreciate, kind of sticking it to that, and not actually like catering to the controversy that I think was a little bit trivial. But this commercial itself, though, without that context, doesn't quite make a lot of sense. And that's a lot of backstory to kind of have. I mean, if on its own, I think it could stand alone as kind of just like a funny, weird, like, I don't even know, almost Mountain Dew-esque in terms of like kind of doing something really zany. Candy-coated clams, and they changed the name to Mayan Yaz. It's all just kind of like, what? Like, who thought of this? Like, what were they doing recreationally while writing this or something like that? But yeah, I think it was kind of funny. Hit or miss. Like, I mean, maybe we're not the right target, but like for a Super Bowl ad, I mean, it's a big risk, I guess. And I guess I appreciate the not super standardness of it, I guess, because they could have easily just been like, M&M's, eat us, or like gone back to like the characters. So they took a swing. So I appreciate that. Whether or not it was a home run or not, who's to say, but that's my outlook on it.
Well, and I think you brought up a few good points about the ones that seem to do really, really well are far beyond just an ad on screen, even if it's a good one. I mean, I think it gets back to, like, them as a brand, what they stand for, and that long-term kind of messaging that they're going for. This was a very funny but small piece of it, but also contributed to a very, very large, you know, kind of what they stand for, what their brand identity is. And those are the ones that I think I enjoy more is how do they integrate. First of all, how do they present by themselves? But then are there multiple? You know, is it part of something else? I think like the Planters Peanuts was one last year that there was a lot of stuff that happened outside of just the ad. But yeah, very interesting. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Not so much this one. I do like, just like you said, a little bit of zany. Just overall, it was just, you don't think about M&M's tasting like clams. And so I
think that was gross when I was like watching.
I loved watching the reaction of the people as they took a bite, and their face just kind of goes blank. Like, what did I just eat? I think it's one of those things though, that does, it makes you think about it and talk about it after the fact. And that's kind of the goal.
That's what we're doing right now. That's
why we're talking about right now. Now, does it have a negative impact on what people perceive M&M's as? I would hope not, because I think people are, smart enough to understand that M&M's are not going to taste like clams. And they understand the purpose behind it, but you just never know too. So like you said, risk. It was a risk. Was it worth $7 million? I'm not sure.
Well, and that's always what's hard to know is, you know, ultimately it gets down to that bottom line. And then if they see it, because all it is just you want to be in their head, you know, and then when somebody thinks about, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, M&M's. You know, and maybe they don't know why that they're thinking about it, but they just saw the Scooby commercial. It left a mark, and there they are.
I'm going to think about it, now a little bit extra when I see it at the gas station or something like that.
Well, and I think that's part of it, too, is how do you create something lasting that's You know, so if you're looking at all the options of candy, you know, first of all, which one do you want? Because it tastes good or sounds good. But also, if you're looking around, you're like, oh, that one stuck out, you know, and it's hard to, you know, when we talk about brand, it's hard to get into the, like, understanding the totally, like, the why of why you pick one over the other. Sometimes it's literally just taste. Sometimes it's price. But a lot of times it's, you know, that one actually left a mark and something that I resonate with. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because in the end, it's all just sugar.
It's all just sugar. Yeah. True. Just brings you up and brings you back down later. Yeah. No, awesome. Well, very good.
What's up next?
All right. We have premature electrification up next. This one, actually, I did not see.
Oh, live reaction here.
So, yeah, I'm excited about this.
Are you excited about buying an electric vehicle but worried that it could leave you unsatisfied? Then you could be one of many Americans concerned about premature electrification. Symptoms may include fearing you might not be able to last as long as you'd like.
There's plenty of charge before. Sometimes it goes away.
A lot of times.
I've been working a lot.
Being unsure if you have enough power to handle the payload.
I don't know if I got the power for this baby.
I'm adventurous. I like to go all the way. I don't want to have to question if we're even going to make it. It's a concern.
Lacking the confidence about getting and being able to keep a charge.
Having to stop every time we got really excited, that wouldn't work for me. Stop. Start. Stop. Start.
If PE, premature electrification, is something you're worried about, go to ramrev.com and find out if the Ram 1500 Rev, with options being designed to extend range in satisfying ways, is right for you.
Stop. Start. Stop. Start.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think it's pretty clear to see what they did there.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Zach, do you want to go ahead and share your thoughts on this
one? You know, this is the one that actually, like, I caught it halfway through while watching it live. And it was clever enough that I went back to start it from the beginning. Because, first of all, I've always been a Ram fan. So, like, that connected with me from a brand standpoint. And I've also obviously been watching a lot of the EV stories and what's going on in that world. And so to see a brand that I like pursuing this EV world and then seeing them present it and basically announce it, because I haven't seen anything about the Ram EV yet. And so the fact that this is the way that they announced it effectively to the world, considering it was at the Super Bowl, was kind of funny to me just because of just the context of it. And it is one of those topics that people worry a lot about with EVs on if they're going to be able to run as long as they want them to, especially when you talk about trucks and towing and stuff like that. And so instead of them just going basically toe to toe with every other EV maker and say, our batteries are going to last longer, they came up with a clever way to address it in a way that basically every cliche medication on the market goes about and talks about their side effects and stuff like that. And I think that that's what it was, kind of a refreshing thought. Like, you think of all the different medications and you're like, well, if I have to listen to all the side effects for 60% of the commercial and that's it, like, is it really worth it? And then they just kind of took that same idea and went about it the same way. So I just thought it was a clever way of addressing that concern.
Well, or go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with that all. Yeah. And, I thought they really targeted their audience well. I mean, this is a truck, not, I mean, it doesn't have to be family friendly, so to speak, and this even is, like, to an extent, but, like, they definitely took a little bit more of a raunchy, mature route with it in a sort of creative way. And so I think that kind of fits the market that they're probably going for in terms of age, at least, because you know, kids aren't going to be buying EVs anytime soon. Right. So hitting that that adult sort of market, I think they nailed that. And then also having a creative, memorable sort of spin to, yeah, like you said, like the whole kind of like medication or illness commercials. And yeah, like, really, I thought it was cool. I'm like, oh, we're finally getting another big brand doing a truck that's not Tesla. I thought that was cool. And yeah, it made me aware and created a lasting impression, I guess. So that's my thoughts on it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as I was watching it, I don't know if nostalgia is the right word, but we didn't have, like, cable TV for the most time growing up. So anytime I would see commercials or shows, it was at my grandparents. And so that was when I'd always see commercials like this. And it, like, commercials have been like that forever, you know, like the medication and the consult your, like, all that stuff. So part of an interesting note for me that I thought was, like, it actually kind of put me back, like, a little bit. So one was cool. Like, the truck looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We have a truck. I would love the idea of an electric truck. So it, that intrigued me by itself. But also just, and I think that when advertisers make ads, sometimes they never, like, you could never imagine where it would take people, like, in terms of what they remember or what they take away. But one of it, it was, like, a little bit brought me back to sitting at my grandparents, like, watching commercials, because we just watch TV was all that we right. do. But no, I thought this was very well done. Of course, the raunchiness was funny. You know, the it's almost like what Disney does for adults. You know, in a, like kind of a way, they have their show. The kid doesn't know what's going on, and you're just like, oh, that was for me. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But no, I thought this one was very well done, especially for a product that's not going to be out for a long, long time. There right. are,
end of 2024, I think, is what it said.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, and I like too. I don't know if you noticed, but in the text at the bottom, it starts off with "Get excited, but not too excited." And then, so that was kind of funny.
Yeah, they went to that extent. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I just noticed that now.
Well, that's great.
But yeah, so no, that was a really good one, and definitely left lasting impressions. So,
cool. What's next?
All right, we got our man Jack up next. Tristan, I think you recommended this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, this one's so. Funny. Yeah.
This one I have not seen yet at all.
Oh, really? So. All right, we'll get on the first time.
I need to try something. Help. You quit rap for a triangle?
You gotta do me, miss.
No, no, no. It's ding, 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 ding. Not ding, 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 ding. Ting, ting, ting. Yes, yes, yes! Yes, that's it, that's it.
Annette has a case of triangle fever.
Everybody, we are so out of triangles that we still have cowbells.
The triangle has replaced the British pound.
And triangle player of the year goes to
Elton John.
I like it.
So I really like this one. I think it was a good use of the celebrity sort of endorsement. Mm-hmm. To me, this one felt like a 30-second or however long it was comedy short film. Like they took like kind of like what would be like the montage section of like a comedy film and made it into a commercial. And so I really appreciate it from that standpoint. It's pretty dumb, but I kind of like that stuff, I guess, sometimes when it's like kind of like ridiculously over the top, and I think they went full send with it, and I appreciate it from that standpoint. And I thought Jack Harlow kind of committed to that. He's actually becoming more of a visual presence too. He's gonna be in movies, he's gonna be acting now, so I think he kind of committed to the bit very well. And then of course the Elton John cameo kind of at the end, I think was a nice funny touch and everything. And it like hardly had anything to do with Doritos. But because, you know, the Doritos shape is so recognizable, relating it to this dumb instrument that they are trying to, like, kind of make a thing. And then also having it in the background. Like, I liked when he was about to, get the awards presented to him. And he's just, like, sitting there eating a bag of Doritos. Like, subtle things like that, like, that kind of reinforce it. Like, I guess it's supposed to be advertising a new flavor of Doritos, but you'd hardly notice that because, mm-hmm. like, it's such a small part of it. And so I kind of appreciated it from that standpoint. I guess it made me laugh. It was memorable, and I think it was a good use of a celebrity cameo. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think like you said, there's hardly any mention of Doritos, but to play into that idea of what you're saying where it felt like a trailer, mm-hmm. is it felt like very proper product placement
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's done well enough to where you don't feel like it is, but you do recognize the brand.
Right.
I think that, yeah, overall it feels like that trailer. I could possibly see myself watching a short film or a movie revolves around this idea of someone becoming a famous triangle player.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the Doritos, I think it connects well with the Doritos because they are the memorable chip when you think of triangle chips.
Exactly. So yeah.
I think it worked from that standpoint. It connected between the two.
Yeah, it's interesting. To prep for this, I looked at a bunch of lists of like the best and worst, and this was like on one of the worst lists for one of the aggregates. And I didn't quite get that. I mean, yeah, maybe if your taste is a little bit elevated, or I don't even know. I mean, I think it's dumb, but it's funny. It's silly.
Yeah, like
it's
goofy.
I appreciate that. Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, I thought this is one of the more memorable ones, I guess, because I remembered it enough to kind of think of it to talk about it now. So,
well, and Doritos have done a lot of interesting things and tried a lot of different things over the years. I know they did several years of the commercial challenge where they invited people to
produce
their own Doritos commercials. And so it's right in line with the brand that they've had over the last probably decade when it 100%. Comes to Super Bowl commercials. So I think it worked well for them.
Yeah.
And one thing kind of with this, it's they each do it a little bit differently, but one thing that I feel like I see in successful commercials is they're relevant to like what's like current. So you have your typical commercials, which you're just like, you know, typical commercial. But what I like about this one, and then the other one I'll use as an example, the electric truck one, the Dodge one. So the conversation around electric vehicles, their ability to last, you know, one thing I've seen recently as we've transitioned into winter is the ability for them to last in the cold. And how it's and some of them are significantly decreased in terms of their battery life. So that's been a conversation. And so that was directly addressed in Dodge's commercial. One thing I thought was interesting on that was they didn't say anything about like how longer it'll last or like the towing or anything. Right. But they just have started that. This is something that's present in people's minds. We want to start addressing it now while it's a thing.
Well, and it's no different than the graphs that Apple uses to show their performance over competitors. They're the same graph repeated over and over. All they did is they started that conversation of saying, we're going to last longer than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even if that's 5 extra miles, people are going to associate them. When people think about, is this truck going to last long enough? They're going to think about Dodge because they're the first ones to really address that.
Right, right. Well, and say for whatever reason the data comes out and Dodges don't last longer, it's going to take an extra step to convince people that they don't, or they're going to have to go a step deeper than the other ones because they have this notion that, oh, it was supposed to last longer. Like, they've talked about that since the beginning. But how I was going to say it with this one was, I think 2022 was a really, really good year for Jack Harlow. He really blew up, I think, in 2022 and became pretty mainstream. And that's where I think Doritos did a good job, is they recognized they could have hired anybody, you know, and I think we saw a lot of like A-list celebrities in commercials, but this was one that he's just really popped off, especially with younger audiences, and so they wanted to leverage that, and I thought that was well done.
Yeah,
so that definitely was just a couple mentions there. All right, next up we have E-Trade, Super Bowl Baby.
No, this is tragic, man. Investors just like you.
Oh, I don't think this is the right one.
Is this not it?
No.
Oh,
this is like the original one, actually, which makes a little bit more sense now that they the other one. Right below that. The
this
today
one?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Okay, that was my bad.
Yeah, you're good, you're good.
I think I'm ready for this.
Heck yeah. With E-Trade, you're ready for anything. Marriage, kids, college.
Kids moving back in after college.
Finally, we can eat.
You know you make me wanna.
And then we looked around and said, wait a minute, this isn't even our stroller.
You live with your parents, but you own a house in the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I don't get it.
This is getting financially ready for anything.
And here's to being single and ready to mingle.
Who's ready to cha-cha?
I think that one is really good because, first of all, the babies have always been awesome in the sense of talking about the financial future of people, right? Because they're babies, right? But they did a really good job of, like you said in the last one, bringing in current topics, the mention of the metaverse, the like all those little things that people can connect with very easily, they brought into it. And again, you remembered this one very well. You could tell it from the thumbnail. It was easy and memorable just based on the little jokes that the babies were telling. So
I thought this one, to me, personally it felt a little flat to me. I thought like the whole the baby wedding thing maybe was just like a weird kind of like thing. Like I appreciate the idea of seeing babies do like kind of funny things, but that was like a little like, oh, it's like, oh, okay, like a little, it maybe just a personal thing for me. It was like a little weird to see, I guess, kind of like.
See, I've always thought it was funny from the very first ones, the one that we almost played. Like, those were some of the funnier ones for me when those started coming out. And so I think that's why I found it a little bit more clever. But
definitely.
I can definitely see how, like, it's like, when I first saw those, the first thought I had was, what business does a baby have telling me about my financial stuff?
Right, right.
And I can see how that can be the same correlation that you have with something like this.
Right. And I think, to me, as someone who's not as familiar with the E-Trade brand, I didn't get enough information from this. It was kind of, to me, that it felt like a lot of, oh, baby's doing adult stuff. And then there was like maybe a sentence. I think they could have used a little bit more context, or maybe put them in more contextual situations personally. But
I would agree because it's been a while since there has been one of those.
Right, exactly. Like I saw that kind of callback, I was like, oh, you know what? Okay, I remember now. Okay, that's why this is kind of like a bigger deal. Like they brought them back, but I kind of, there's been enough time that I kind of forgot that that was once relevant, I guess. So,
well, I think that's important to say, like to mention that that's something to consider. Is Super Bowl ads are cool, but you know, if we haven't heard from you in a while and it doesn't make sense, it might be funny, but
right.
But one thing I noticed with this one that I think is important is it, you know, the topics they were talking about, like kids moving in after college, not understanding the metaverse, not being interested. It seemed like they were targeting an older audience, and so maybe that's where the marriage thing would make sense, is, you know, if the kids are getting married and that's where you're starting to connect, like see people and talk about some of the stuff, maybe that's where that all plugs in.
Yeah, that's probably the disconnect for me, is it might not be targeted to me, so.
Right, right. Well, and I think about some of that stuff, like we're younger and some of that stuff makes sense, you know, and I totally can understand. I can think of my parents and relatives that they're like you buy a virtual house that you could never live in, like that's really dumb. But yeah, so that was just, I thought, something to consider as well with this one.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
definitely. It definitely makes sense considering, you know, if it's not been a while, you have to be consistent. Oh, yeah. Especially when you're spending a lot of money like this, you have to, all those things need to kind of line up. But all right, we're down to our last and final one for today. So this one was actually one that I thought was interesting. But yeah, we'll go ahead and watch it.
For the first time in 30 years, Coors Light has an ad in the big game. Actually, this is a Miller Lite commercial. Mountain Cold Refreshment. It's Miller time. Great taste. Nice feeling. Cold as the Rockies. Coors commercial. Miller commercial.
Actually, it's a Blue Moon commercial.
So full disclaimer, Blue Moon is my favorite beer, so I think I think that helps. I'm not gonna be able to get it on that frame, but so I think that helps. But I always enjoy the ones that are surprises, like the Tidad one. That was I think it was my favorite one that ever came out. Well, the reason I liked that one, so part of it, Blue Moon's my favorite. It was kind of a callback to the Tidad, which I think is my all-time favorite.
Yeah, those ones, yeah.
And why I liked the Tidad so much was literally afterwards, every single commercial you saw where you're like, is this just another one of those Tidads where it's something dumb and random? But then they're like, did you notice their clothes are still clean? That's because of Tidad. You know? That I think, was like the most well-done ad ever. But anyways, so yeah, Blue Moon's my favorite. It was a good call back to the Tidad. But I also like... like I said, the surprise, but I liked how there was something interesting going on. You really don't ever see two brands call each other out like that. So at first, and I didn't know this, and this was naive of me, but they're all owned by the same company. That's the big kind of disclaimer, but you don't see two brands like that very visually fighting. So at first it's like, is this like some weird collaboration where, you know, they're releasing a new beer done under the same brand name or something? And kind of, but I thought that was always interesting, where there's just something intriguing going on, something you don't see very much with two brands, like very visually going at it, and then to find out it's not even those specifically, it's something else. Mm-hmm. That was just to get your attention. I thought that was very interesting and well done.
I agree.
Yeah, in the idea of using the other brands, what I feel like the benefit of that in this case would be is people that do like Miller and like Coors, they're already glued into this commercial because they find it funny, they find it clever, whatever it is. And then they might go, oh, well, maybe Blue Moon is better. And
they might start to question. Well, maybe they got to try it, yeah.
Yeah, like I at least have to try it if I've never had Blue Moon and see if it's better than Coors. Because I just watched a whole commercial where I thought it was all about Coors. And then they're like, no, Blue Moon. I think that if it draws you in like that, like it at least creates some sort of intrigue
mm-hmm.
to at least try that brand or that product.
Well, and what's funny too is, so I like Blue Moon. I have a buddy that he's all Miller, and we make a ton of fun of him because he's like the only guy in our friend group that says he likes Miller the most. And so we make fun, but it's all owned by the same company. Right. You know what I mean? Like they don't care. You know, yeah. Like they just want you right. to try one of them. So I see what you're saying. You know, like I think of Coors Light, Miller Lite, Busch Light kind of being all kind of in the same line. And so if you can, you know, and if you have ownership of those two and then just leverage totally like, you know, they're always going to be fighting between those two. Like we don't even need to worry about them. They're taken care of. But hey, try this other one that's yeah. a little different. But did you say
well,
something?
Well, and yeah. to, real quick to that point though, even if someone decides they don't want to try Blue Moon, it doesn't matter because they promoted Coors Light and Miller Lite as well.
Well, and so, I could just,
like,
if
you know what I mean? Like,
well, and if Nick was there, he's the buddy, we probably would have made fun of him again for liking Miller Lite. And really, it's not bad. It's just for whatever yeah. reason, you pick one, and it's yeah. just like you stick with it for everybody. Right. You were going to say something?
No, yeah. I'm more curious how they decided to go this route because, in theory, this really, I mean, other than the fact that they said it's a Blue Moon ad, it's not really because it got the least amount of screen time. Right. So, like, I'm right. curious, like, if the idea is to generally promote this group of brands, or if it really is, they're like, oh, we need an idea for a Blue Moon commercial. Let's tie it in with this. And then we get the best of both worlds kind of thing. Like what? I guess I don't remember if there was any other separate sort of Coors or Miller commercials. Cause a lot of times there are.
Yeah. I don't know. But, that's a good question.
That intrigues me. Like what the decision process of this was, if it was really like, hey, let's leverage this opportunity and advertise them all and then just pick a brand to showcase at the end and be like, no, it's actually this. Mm-hmm. And I think I agree kind of with what was said before is the other two are pretty similar, but Blue Moon actually is somewhat different. It's got like the whole kind of like you eat, drink it with an orange peel kind of thing.
Valencia orange peel, Tristan.
So, okay, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, the specific strain of orange. Yeah. So I think that it does kind of stand out in that instance. Mm. So that it makes sense to put that one on a pedestal over the other ones that are probably more well known or probably more popular, but kind of the same, I guess. So,
yeah. Well, you gotta be careful how you say stuff.
No, I know. Yeah.
But no, and I hear what you're saying, and it might they probably just want you to try what else they have to offer, you know? Right. And I don't know, and I should have looked into it before this, but I don't know what else they own. You know, like
who knows these days? I thought that was interesting too because it, you know, sometimes quote unquote monopolies aren't like as looked upon favorably, so it's kind of interesting that they're like, hey, this is an ad for this. Oh no, just kidding, we own all these. Like and I think it's always interesting to me too when like the same company has like but when Budweiser does an ad for Budweiser but then also does a separate ad for Bud Light and then also does an ad for Bud Light Seltzer, even mm-hmm. though they're all kind of the same thing. This took a more interesting approach where they actually kind of grouped it all together, and you don't see that a lot, and I think it was an interesting take that kind of could be viewed either way, but
mm-hmm.
something I thought was interesting. So,
yeah, no, and I think, and I, some of those rooms, it would be fascinating to sit in and just mm-hmm. listen to the conversations mm-hmm. about why. But beer is an interesting one, just because of like the different personalities and demographics that are behind each type. Like mm-hmm. people kind of have drink what they drink, and they stick to it. So like the difference between like a Bud Heavy, like a Budweiser Banquet, like the really heavy beer versus like a Bud Light is vastly different to the point of, if you grab one at a wedding, you're like, oh, like he's trying to go somewhere tonight with his drink. compared to like a Bud Light. But, and that's just kind of interesting, but no. So I really like this one. Again, disclaimer, Blue Moon's my favorite beer. So
yeah.
It was easier for me, but anything else kind of with these as we wrap up, kind of just a recap of them all.
You know, I think about this every year with any Super Bowl ad, in when you look at the cost of advertising, is while these are all clever, they're funny, some are good, some are bad, how easy is it to, when you look at the cost of a 30-second ad, and that's 30 seconds. How many of these that we watched today were a minute long?
There were several that I think were a minute.
And I don't know if they do deals for when you buy a whole minute instead of 30 seconds, but if it's $7 million per 30 seconds of ad time for the Super Bowl, and you're doing that every single year, it kind of, like, that adds up quick. And are you seeing a $7 million return plus the creative and the mm-hmm. agency fees and stuff like that? Are you seeing that return from that time at the Super Bowl? Even being the largest watched sport on TV, like, I have a hard time seeing a payout for all the different ads that are running. There's some that I could see it, especially things like the Dodge one I could see paying out over time, especially them being in there a couple years early or a year early. But I it looks to me, it seems like it's a hard decision to make to say $7 million for a 30-second ad is going to pay off in the next year.
I agree. I think, yeah, to me, it feels like for some of the bigger brands that this is probably not as significant of a payout to kind of, you know, like the M&Ms or like these brands that have been around that probably make billions of dollars each year. Like, it's probably not that much. And they almost feel like they probably just, oh, it's another Super Bowl ad. We have to do that, I guess, just because we always do. And it's, but then for some of these other smaller companies, like the, what was it, like Temu? We didn't talk about that, but that was one where I think that one is maybe effective for them because they were virtually unknown. And then, so I think that you kind of have to weigh that a little bit. Is it's possible to make a big splash? And I think maybe nowadays it more makes sense for smaller companies like that, where there's a better potential of them possibly, you know, getting a $7 million plus differential in positive gains that way. But for some of these bigger brands, like, I mean, half the time they release them like 2 weeks before the big game even comes out and they're online anyway. So it's like, does it really matter that much? I guess, are they probably going to lose out? And maybe in their minds, probably, but I'd be curious to see. I think, going back to like the QR thing that you talked about too, like these virtually unknown apps or websites kind of making a big splash. I'd be curious to see if we see more of that rather than these kind of tried and true brands who are always there.
But. Right. Well, and it's so hard to know, you know, some of them do it because their competitor always does it. And so they need to always do it.
Right.
But what's interesting about the QR code one. So while that commercial was a huge success, the stock price of Coinbase is down like 90% and they've laid off staff. You know what I mean? So like, maybe they got their money, maybe they didn't. That's what's always kind of hard to know. Just like you're saying, is like, at what point do you say this was a success? Because if, you know, the next year your stock price is down 90% because you've done it differently, maybe it wouldn't be. But crypto's also just been a very interesting world.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that ad was not responsible for anything. There was a lot of stuff outside of it that led to that space specifically having a decline. But it's just interesting, you know, and kind of that, I think I... My favorite phrase in marketing is it depends, because I feel like you say that so often, you know, with so everything. True. But yeah. Awesome. Any final thoughts? Or I thought this was very fun. I enjoyed having this conversation with you, just seeing which one stuck out to you both and being able to talk about it and having a space. It's nice to have the TV back there so we can showcase some. But awesome. Well, thank everybody for joining this episode of The Raisin Brand. Again, make sure you watch. If you're on audio, make sure you hop over to YouTube and you can watch these conversations, especially when we're talking about ads that we have on screen. Then you can watch them with us. So take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Raisin Brand Podcast, powered by Pixel Labs. Remember to subscribe to stay up to date on all things Raisin Brand.